Israel's formed a new unity government on day five of its war against Hamas. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We demand that they release the captives, the hostages. They have to do it now.
Israeli Defense Forces Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner, it's believed Hamas has more than 100 hostages.
In the Gaza Strip itself, the air campaign has been relentless. The Gaza City itself has been subject to withering strikes from the air.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Israel near the border says a source tells him Hamas terrorists have gone into hiding in tunnels.
So he says the air campaign has been ineffective in terms of killing Hamas fighters. Mostly what you see is a destruction of the infrastructure in Gaza City. Power and water have been cut off to the Gaza Strip. They do have an independent power generator, but it runs on diesel, and the best information we have is that it's out of fuel.
More than 1,000 Palestinians are dead. So are about 1,200 Israelis from Hamas's terror attacks and bombings, along with 14 Americans. The U.S. has sent military aid, more to come, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's pledged more weapons and ammo for Ukraine to fend off Russia's invasion at a meeting of leaders at NATO. Fox's Jonathan Savage is there.
Winter is coming to Ukraine, and if last time is anything to go by, it's not going to be easy.
President Putin is preparing once again to use winter as a weapon of war.
That's NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg welcoming the Ukrainian president to Brussels. Volodymyr Zelensky says he needs air defense systems
to save energy network, to save people.
House Republicans are gathering again this morning, still trying to elect a new speaker. It's Steve Scalise versus Jim Jordan.
They are going to vote by secret ballot for the Republican conference selection for Speaker of the House. I just spoke with one senior Republican who doesn't think that anyone has the votes to win, and they may sit in this meeting all day.
And that's Fox's Chad Pergram at the Capitol, this a week after Republicans ousted Kevin McCarthy as speaker. America's listening to Fox News.
Life is about being active. Whether it's about going on your daily tasks or exercising, you know you're well when you're regularly active. But what happens when being active actually hurts by the end of the day? This is the position I found myself in a number of years ago. Everything I wanted to do in my daily life, all of the activity it called for, was held captive to almost constant nagging pain. When I heard about Relief Factor, I was skeptical, but my wife said, give it a chance. Not long after I took it, I could feel the pain begin to melt away, and I've been taking it ever since. And I can tell you that Relief Factor has helped me get my life back. I love that it's not a drug, but it was developed by doctors. And about 70% of the people who try it go on to order more. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be ordering a 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or ReliefFactor.com. Find out all about this offer and feel the
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Former President Trump's lawyer are asking a New York State appeals court for a pause in his business fraud trial. This last-ditch move comes after the Manhattan Supreme Court judge overseeing the $250 million civil trial issued a series of rulings. State Attorney General Lita James is suing Trump, his sons, the Trump Organization, and a company officials, claiming they inflated the value of real estate holdings to get tax advantages and better bank rates. City of Yuma has been informing the public about its father-daughter ball. This special event is designed for girls ages 3 to 12, and their fathers are father figures. This event is on October 14th, but tickets are on sale now. The leader of the UAW says General Motors had made progress at the bargaining table. Union President Sean Fain says the GM has leapfrogged the pack in negotiations. A little over 302 emergency calls have been answered by Yuma Fire in the last week. Yuma Fire reminds the community about vehicle fire safety tips, including if a fire is expected, safely pull over, turn off the vehicle, and get everyone out. That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director, and of course, in studio, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing really well.
Yeah? Doing really well?
Yeah, me and the dog, we're behaving.
Yeah, we do have Lexi with us this morning, as usual, which is she's being quiet right now, although she's checking everybody out.
Yeah, she's an ugly dog.
No,
I've grown attached.
I love that little dog. I love that little dog. Well, this morning, joining us in the studio, we have Mayor Doug Nichols, the mayor of the city of Yuma. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in. I didn't know I could have brought my wife's dog.
Yes, absolutely. It's a playground
for animals.
What? Yeah.
Actually, what you should have brought was treats.
Treats. Yes, that would have made a lot more sense.
Exactly.
Yes.
See, you could have had your best friend then.
That's how you make friends, buddy.
That's how you're going to start showing up at chamber meetings with treats.
Evidently, I'm going to have to. I wonder. And what kind of treats resonate at a chamber meeting?
Lots of them.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. That's on the list.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's on the list. Next chamber meeting. We got donuts.
I
got to
bring donuts.
Okay. Awesome. Well, speaking of different meetings, I know that we have a big bike ride coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yes. It's on a week and a half, October 21st. This is our 7th International Mayor's Bike Ride. And so, mayors, I always want to stress, is a plural possessive, if you remember English class, not a singular possessive. So it's all the mayors in the region come together, including Mayor Yeskes from San Luis Rio, Colorado, and our county leaders and our tribal leaders. And the idea is it's a community building ride. It's a ride where everyone can participate. And we start in Yuma, and we end up in Mexico. That might sound like a long trip. And I guess it is in its entirety, but really, it's broken up into little pieces, and it makes it so much easier, very attainable for pretty much everybody, because we're breaking up into 4 or 5 mile sections, and then we wait, and everybody catches up, and so you're not strung out there at the end, 15 miles behind everybody else. We stay close together. Russ, you've done it 3 years, 2 years?
I just one. I was annoying enough to make it seem like it was much longer, but
you bring the music.
I did a lot of it. Yeah. I'm kind of mad about the whole thing though, because you're doing it on the wrong day. I'm going to be out of town, and I am so mad.
Oh my!
I mean, it is the most fun I've had on that bicycle. Was that trip?
Good.
And I've put a lot of miles on it, and that was one I was just so looking forward to. And I'm going to be in D.C.
Ah, well, duty calls.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want you to change the date, is what I'm asking.
There we go. Yeah. 10 days out, change the date. Can you do that?
Yeah, we've pegged, just so you, future reference, we've pegged it every year that we can on Bridget Gifts Day, too. So you can do the ride in the morning, go home, take a nap, and then hit the concert at night.
It is absolutely really fun. It's something, you know, camaraderie and getting together. I like the breaks every few miles, and it's a police escort, man.
Yes.
I mean, it's very safe. You're going to have safe, and it's police, it's sheriff, it's city police, it's Mexican National Police. Everybody pitches into that thing, which is hilarious. Actually, it's just like, wow, this is such an ordeal.
Yes.
It's like it's like a procession that's 25 miles long, and just to promote biking, promote mayors, promote friendship, to promote a lot of things. And then it's capped off by, which is a huge event in Mexico, as far as I was concerned, you know, where it was a street party, but it's like a street party with a band and dancing girls and a stage and beverages and food. And I'm like, I was like, this can't be real.
So wait a minute. I went out of town last year. In fact, the last 2 years I've been out of town that weekend. It's been family weekend at my son's university.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, dancing girls. That's...
Yeah, dancing girls.
Well, they were part of the they're part of the group. So
they're part of the group. Yeah.
Okay.
The mayor puts on an amazing party.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you round the corner, you come through this big arch, inflated arch.
Okay.
And people are cheering and the band's playing and you have the bomberos, the firemen over there making sure you don't fall over and pass out. And they like immediately hand you drinks and get tickets for your tacos and they
couldn't do enough for you.
Well,
I mean, they were so gracious.
And they also provide medallions. So if you complete kind of like in a marathon,
when
you complete
you get a
medal. So I'm not big in participation trophies per se, but this is more of an event thing. This is about being part of
something. I still
bigger.
Have my medal. I liked it.
Right.
And And I even cheated. I mean, I rode an electric bike.
That's not cheating.
Completely acceptable.
I heard that is not cheating.
Not cheating.
No motorcycles allowed, but an electric bicycle is allowed.
I think about 10% were electric assist.
I think it's going to be higher this year.
I think so.
Yes, it's a
trend. I won't be one of them.
They're getting very popular, the electric bicycles.
Popular. Yes, and it's one of the things I think that was first spurred on by Councilman Thomas the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only one on that first ride. And then every year after that, the numbers have just grown.
Roughly, I looked at it, was about 10% of what, you know, by just, you know, yeah. Looking at doing a rough estimate, about 10%. That was more than I thought there would be.
Right. Right. Well, and that's what makes it accessible. We don't have those kind of rules. It's not a race.
No.
It's not a competition. We have it. You mentioned the law enforcement. We actually have law enforcement from California. The CHP shows up.
They were too.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes Imperial Valley Sheriff will show up. And it's really just making sure that everyone's safe.
I kind of thought they were having a good time, too.
Yes.
Yeah, they seem to be very happy, you know, at the stops and integrating and being around and, you know, performing a service of security seemed to... Right. To set with them well, it wasn't like, oh, darn, I've got to go do this. I mean, they were
right,
part of the group.
Yes.
And it was kind of festival-type atmosphere.
And if you're concerned that you might not make the whole way, I'll tell you my story from last year, which is a little bit embarrassing, but I'll say it anyway. Is for the first time, I had leg cramps coming into San Luis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped. Immediately, their officer pulled over with me. Hey, what's going on? Do you need anything? He gave me seeds, you know, so I can get the salt consumed in it, and it solved the cramps right away, and I was back riding again. But as I'm riding, behind me I hear lights and sirens coming up the road, that Highway 95. And sure enough, full-on ambulance just blasts right by me, and I thought, oh, okay, good. It's not for me. I was afraid maybe my officer buddy had overreacted.
Check this guy out.
Well... They then flipped the U-turn and came back. And as soon as they got to me where I was, the lights and sirens went off because they realized they didn't. I was okay.
You weren't laying on the street saying, help me.
So if you were concerned that you will be in the middle of nowhere with no assistance, be reassured. That will not be the case.
Wow.
All right? So it's something that everyone should take confidence in. You know, if you get halfway through the ride and just can't finish, the PD has pickup trucks, right?
And, I think Mr. B's bicycle was there also to pick up people.
There.
And a lot of people did not go into Mexico for some reasons that, you know, some don't want to and some had things to do, which was fine. About half of them went right into Mexico.
Yes, which I'll tell you, to me, is the single point of the ride that is the most enjoyable when you cross the international boundary with 200 of your fellow riders.
I agree.
That's adrenaline. That's really a lot of fun.
And I think they even had an ambulance as one of their escort vehicles. And we don't get escort that far. It was a quarter mile or something. It wasn't very far.
Yeah, it's within a mile of the border.
But I was thinking next time just truck my bike all the way down to San Luis and just join there and just going to Mexico for the party.
You could try that.
That's actually what I suggested.
That's not promoting circumventing the whole ride here.
No, you need a number and all that. You need to register.
We're not tagging you like in a marathon or in a race. There's no clock. That's watching.
I'm looking at my bike and thinking, okay, it's dusty and the tires are flat because it's been that long since I've actually ridden it.
Right.
Yeah. The thing about that was really a concern, you know, after sitting at that party is like getting back into the United States. Now, getting back to the United States, and for those of you that have done this during tourist season and all that, sometimes that line can be 2 hours long to get back and just pedestrian. You had a separate lane set up just for the bikers, and we were escorted, and actually the federales even got involved in that to open up gates and make sure we were escorted to a private lane set up just for us where they checked IDs and said, go, IDs and go, and we went right through.
It's an unofficial lane, just to be clear.
It was an unofficial lane.
Yes, actually.
That worked like an official one.
The customs, you know, at the port, they've been really good to us. John Schwamm has been very good to the community. He's part of the community. He's not just someone filling a role here. And so when we brought that to him a couple years ago, he said, yeah, we could make sure that we can give you a – it's a small window. And you got to be there during that window.
Yeah, they told us that.
But, yeah. But it's clear when we're headed that way. And that way you're not in Mexico for hours because you're on a bike. So if you drive across to meet somebody at the party, that's all fine and good. But you don't get that special lane back. You're going to have to get in with everybody else. But if you're on a bike.
We were all tight. I mean, we had registration. Right. We had numbers. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious.
It is obvious. And we were all smiling. So it's very obvious. You know, the smiley people get to go through.
Yes.
With that, we better take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
If you are a fan of fall, I think you'll like the weather we have starting today through the rest of the week as some cooler temperatures begin to make their way into southwestern Arizona. It's a sunny day and breezy, and with that westerly wind, 92 will be as warm as we get. Tomorrow, the winds out of the north will cool us even further. Sunny and breezy, 90 tomorrow. Friday, comfortable day, 88 the high. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family. Execute your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we have Russ Clark with us this morning. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have the Mayor of the City of Yuma, Doug Nichols, with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. So we've been talking about the mayors, plural mayors,
yes.
International Bike Ride, which is happening October 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to participate, what do I need to do?
You just need to show up before 8 o'clock. So we're starting out at 8 o'clock at the convention center, this Yuma Civic Convention Center. Registration starts at 7. So I don't recommend showing up at 8 because you're going to be behind the curve. But show up at 7. We just do a simple registration, you know, attorneys, just to get that out of the way. We give you a shirt. So you have a shirt for the ride. The first, I think it's 300 shirts. 300 people get a shirt, 400 shirts. Okay. So be there. We won't necessarily have all the sizes all the time. So, you know, if the earlier you get there, the better that is. And we give you a number just because it's a ride and we have people who like to have numbers on them.
It's also easier to track.
And a little bit easier to track. And then there's things to do, take pictures and go see Mr. B's and the other sponsors. You know, if you need your bike tweaked, tuned up a little bit, I think we're having Sonoran bikes there, too, at the start.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's some great sponsors that'll be there, so you can check that out. And just so everyone knows, the ride is essentially Highway 95 from there. So we go down Avenue A to 32nd Street and go down the hill, which is you can gain lots of speed, which is really awesome.
I like the downhill. It's the uphill at Cocoa Paw that I...
Uphill's a little bit. It's the yin and the yang.
That's
part of the ride.
That's scrubbing off speed. That scrubs off speed.
Yes.
And we had a headwind last time.
We did. That was the first year in 6 years we had ever had a headwind.
Didn't bother me.
That's the benefit, the beauty of having a power assist.
Yeah, I just leaned on the battery a little more.
Right. Did it make it made it all away, right? There's no charge issues.
No, 25 miles, I was still had better than half a battery.
Yeah. So then we do go to down Highway 95 to the Cocoa Paw Corner Store. And the Cocoa Paw Nation does a great job. They usually have things to set up to see some of the artifacts from the museum and get refreshed. There's music, all that fun stuff's going on. And then once everyone's collected up and about ready to go, we head out again and we go down the hill, another downhill, to the city of Somerton, and we stop in front of their city hall. And again, a little bit of party atmosphere. Uh-huh. Everyone catches up, have a good time. We go from there to Gadsden, do the same thing. There's no mayor in Gadsden officially. There's a few people who call themselves mayor of Gadsden. But there's no official mayor of Gadsden. But we catch up there, again, hydrate and everything. And then we head off for San Luis. Now, the San Luis stop this year is changing. It used to be at St. Jude Church. It's now going to be at a park that's down on the west side of San Luis. And I forget the name right now. But it'll be clearly marked. And the big hill into San Luis is broken up into two parts. One into the park, And then after the park, we go up to the port. So it'll actually be easier on this.
Okay.
This
leg. You got kicked out of church or something?
Well, I think with all the construction and the number of stuff people on this ride, I mean, we were over 250 last year.
It's going to be more now.
They had a hard time navigating because the port's super busy anyway. And so
there's going to come a point where you're going to have to limit it. I don't know what that's going to be.
I don't know
when
that's going to be, but I'd love to have that problem. And then so we're going to stop in San Luis. And again, the mayor's going to be there to greet us and there'll be food and refreshments. And then from that point, that's when we're going to head into Mexico. We're going to go up U Street or Usustla Sticky Street and head right across the border. I did meet with Mayor Yescas last week to talk about, there's always that question about safety and security.
Right. Yeah.
And we talked through all those issues, and he has agreed to more than double the amount of escorts through Mexico just to put people's fears at ease.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know anyone was, I guess there were some people that didn't go that had fear.
Right.
But, you know, once we were at the party on the street, you may have noticed there were no street vendors. There was nobody walking around because literally every place there was an entrance into that area, there was an undercover police officer standing there.
Right.
And I went over and talked to him, you know, and they were happy to be there, too. But
but
they just told everybody, hey, this is a private fair. You can't come in here, because there were people who wanted to come in and sell Chiclets or hats or whatever.
Right.
None of that. It was all clear.
Right. Yes, all approved vendors. There's a couple there, you know, just one or two things, but it's not overwhelming. They're not in your face.
Like I said, I'm sad to miss it.
Yeah, and so the mayor and I had a very frank conversation about that, and he understands, and I described to him, and he has seen it, the level of law enforcement we have on this side of the border, and so he's trying to emulate that same level of law enforcement. So I think that would be good.
I guess I didn't make the comparison. I guess we did have a lot, but
we have a lot.
I thought they were just volunteering or something.
Every agency in the county, except for maybe one or two federal agencies, that didn't have the resources. And again, a couple from California,
which made it fun. I mean, they would, you know, a group would escort us so far, drop off another group, and then drop off another group, and you know, we had a little bit of everybody.
Everybody participates, and pretty much the whole way. So they end up. You know, there's changes jurisdictions along the way, but they kind of fall back in support roles.
But we went 24 and a half miles. They only went a half a mile or a quarter mile.
Right.
So, of course, we'll have more.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But so anyway, we've had that conversation. So if that's something on your mind, you know, obviously you can't promise security anywhere, everywhere.
No.
But
right.
That's been addressed. And just remember to bring your passport so it's easier to come back across.
Yeah.
That's an important thing.
Yeah, that is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And water. Don't forget water.
Well, water was available everywhere.
It's in between the stops that you might want to bring.
You can't go 5 miles without a glass of water.
Some people don't have power assist bicycles. You might get slightly parched.
I guess, you know, I've just lived in Arizona long enough that I just don't go anywhere without water for the most part.
Always recommend having water.
I just always have water. It's just, that's just, you know, just in case.
And this year we got noticed that Mexicali we've always had a big contingent from Mexicali and Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But Mexicali is sending their mascot of their baseball team, the Aguilas.
Really?
And he's going to be with us, I don't know how, because it's a really big outfit, but the whole way. Wearing the outfit. So I don't know if I doubt he's going to actually be able to ride in that outfit, but maybe. I don't know.
Maybe a little ways.
But he'll be there from the kickoff to the end. So we're starting to really pull regionally, which is really the mission here.
It's kind of unique. I don't know. Has anyone ever do anything like this? This is a weird deal.
It's a weird deal. And it's one of those things that I think puts us, our uniqueness out on display in a very positive way.
What were you really trying to accomplish, though? I mean, what was the reason, the rationale? Why did we put it together?
This originally was put together between myself and a councilman in San Luis Rio, Colorado, is where the idea generated. He was a doctor, so he was focused on health. But I was more in health in a binational discussion. Mm-hmm. And I was more focused on finding ways to demonstrate how we normally work as a community anyway. Having relationships across the border, people, especially in the last 3 years, you know, look at the border as something that's divisive, And that's not the way it really works here. I mean, we got people that go to work each side of the border, mm-hmm. both directions, family members, community groups, our rotaries are connected. I mean, mm-hmm. we are truly more of a binational, international community, and we need to promote those things because all the other stuff still gets the attention, and rightfully so when it needs to be. But this is day-to-day life. This is what the life I've experienced since growing up here is the fact that, you know, it's not a big thing to go across the border. It's part of life in the Southwest.
And I know you're bilingual, and you have...
Actually, I'm not, unfortunately.
I thought you were.
No, I should be, but I'm not. My wife's bilingual. I've lived here nearly my whole life.
Oh, you married into it then.
I did, yes. Yes, yes. I can do the vacation stuff. I can get basic directions, get food, find the bathroom.
I find people speak English too.
Yeah. But no, I can't. I can't actually communicate in Spanish.
Oh,
so don't let that be in it.
Does your wife ever yell at you in Spanish?
No, she wants to be clear.
That's a great. That's a good point. I want you to hear me.
Yes,
and understand what
yes,
she's doing. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
Yeah. No. So it's one of those. That was the reason. Was just to promote the Forefront ED is that group that we've put together,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the primary activities.
Yeah, so it was goodwill. It was just connection, mm-hmm. building better connection.
Correct.
I think that was accomplished.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know anybody that was on that didn't have wonderful, you know, time about this whole connection, mm-hmm. And the whole ride was about the connection. I mean, obviously, it was all the mayors. It was everyone involved so that, you know, the end game was to make it into Mexico and kind of demonstrate how close we are.
Right. And that was the reason why we've insisted on keeping it free. And we really appreciate our sponsors, because if you're coming from Mexico, you know, a $20 registration fee might be too much of a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may be here, it's too much of a barrier. Whatever it is, we want it to be a level playing field. So everybody had this equal opportunity to engage. And that was really a very important thing that we did. Because some people were like, why don't you make it a fundraiser? Yeah, we could make it a fundraiser. We'd probably raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's not the point of this.
Right.
This isn't.
It was more of a fundraiser, F-U-N.
Yes.
Yes.
Fun, not a fund.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So we're excited that this is the seventh year. And Kathy, who was in the studio earlier, she's mm-hmm. my chief of staff.
Yeah, she took off. You know, she's got
a lot of work to do.
You put her to work. You said, "Don't no more hanging around here."
Right, yeah, but she does an amazing amount of work making sure all the pieces are in place.
Mm-hmm.
Every city has people dedicated to make this happen in the county, and so it is a lot of work. I just get to show up, take the pictures, and do the ride. But okay. Kathy just does an amazing.
You find a parade and jump in front. That's fine.
Only if I'm invited.
That's okay.
Well, it's one of those events that I a lot of people look forward to every year. So we're trying to build on that tradition.
I know that there are a couple logistical questions that people are going to have.
Yes.
And so, you know, we already talked about take your passport. How do I get back?
Oh, that's a very, very good point. So one of our key partners is YCAT, mm-hmm. YSIPTA, and they meet us at the San Luis Port of Entry on the American side. So after you come through the expedited unofficial lane in customs, you walk right to the bus, and you bring your bike up onto the bus, and they'll take you right back to the Civic Convention Center. Some people decide they want to ride back.
I saw that. Yeah.
Some people meet friends. Like usually my father-in-law will meet us there and give us a ride back so we don't have to take up space on the bus. But he comes across and you know, has lunch with us and all that other fun stuff too. So, you know, it's however you want to come back. There's no official way to come back, but you do not have to ride back.
The way the bus was explained to me was first come, first serve, room available type thing.
Right.
So I didn't count on it.
Okay.
So I had somebody, you know, I have a trailer for my bikes weigh 80 pounds, 70 pounds, 80 pounds. I just had somebody meet me there with my truck and a trailer.
Sure.
And we threw it on there, you know, which is designed to carry them.
Right.
And
Yeah, you can do that too. I know people that will, like carpool, they'll leave a car in San Luis and then they'll mm-hmm. drive together to the Civic Center. There's no official way you have to come back. That's all up to you. But those are we didn't want to leave anybody stranded. I think we run two buses, and that's been, up to this point, more than enough.
It took care of everybody.
Yeah.
I still prefer just doing my own, but
sure.
Because the bike's so heavy. I mean, I'd be a big pain in the butt trying to bring that thing on there.
Right. That would be a little bit difficult.
Not that I wouldn't.
Right. Right.
It's better. You need to take a break.
Although if you have half of a charge, you could still make it all the way back.
Yeah, I could. Kim, we're gonna take a break.
Okay, well, let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Jesse Kelly here. Do you feel protected? My personal protection plan is owning gold. The Oxford Gold Group helps you buy gold to have on hand or convert it into your 401k. If things get weird, I have gold on hand. I like that. You can buy coins or convert part of your 401k with the Oxford Gold Group. It's easy and safe. 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Put your game knowledge to the test with a $250,000 pro football challenge at Paradise Casino and Quachan Casino Resort. Visit the designated kiosk to make your predictions each week for the pro football teams you think will be victorious. 10 players each week will win cash or rewards play. So much, so close. Paradise Casino and Quachan Casino Resort. Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Call 1-800-NEXT-TEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. As always, at the bottom of the hour, I do have a few announcements. First of all, we have a lot of new things going on at the Chamber of Commerce that we want everyone to know about. First of all, on Friday, October 27th, is our big mega mixer. It's the big one of the year. It's at the Yuma Civic Center. It will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's sponsored by MGM Design. This is a chance for our Chamber members to come check out all the booths that we're going to have open up to the public the next day. So it's a great time. It's a great mixer. There is a costume contest. I would say about half the people come dressed up in costume and about half the people don't. So you can be comfortable either way. If you like to dress up in a Halloween costume, by all means, come that way. If that's not your thing, that's okay.
Every day.
That's, yeah, exactly. If that's not your thing, that's okay, too. We're happy to have everybody there and come check out all of the booth spaces. Thanks again to MGM Design for sponsoring that. Then on Saturday, October 28th, is the Community Expo at the Yuma Civic Center. It is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is free to the public. We have everything on our advertising says over 70 local businesses. Last I counted, it's about 90. So it has grown. We are completely sold out this year. So we're going to have to look at expanding next year, which, again, is a good problem to have. Not only will we have businesses there showing off their latest and greatest, but we will have a lot of things for families there. We have free trick-or-treating for kids. We are going to have a costume contest for kids. We have arts and crafts. We have a couple of local youth groups that are helping us out with arts and crafts. And, of course, all the businesses there always have free goodies for everybody. So it's a great way to come find out what our business community is doing, but also have a great time with your family. So join us Saturday, October 28th from 9 to 2. Our next Good Morning Yuma is on Thursday, November 9th. We have a new time. So everybody that's used to getting up super early with us, Good Morning Yuma is starting at 7:30 now. Yeah, exactly. I get lots of cheers when I announce that. So we're going to open the doors at 7 so that people have a little bit more time to do some networking prior to breakfast. And then the programming will start. Well, basically we'll do the initial announcements and prayer and Pledge of Allegiance at 7:30. And then the programming will start at 8, trying to get everybody out of there as close to 9 as possible. This next one is going to be at Arizona Western College, and the program is going to be Arizona Western College. And then on for more new stuff at the Chamber. Saturday, November 18th, we are doing a foodie tour in conjunction with the City of San Luis, sponsored by AEA Federal Credit Union. We actually just got our 6th restaurant signed up, so we're going to take a bus from Yuma. We're going to head down. We're going to visit 6 different restaurants in the City of San Luis on the Arizona side. Even though we've been talking about the bike ride that's going across the border, we're keeping it on the Arizona side. But it should be a great day. Expect it to be have kind of a party atmosphere on the bus. Go down there, visit these six different restaurants, have everybody back at 4 o'clock in time for, I know there are a lot of events that evening. It is event season in Yuma. And then on Saturday, December 9th, we are introducing Duck Duck Putt. We are going to change our golf tournament to a mini golf tournament. We are basically taking over Z Fun Factory that morning because we are doing mini golf tournaments on both of their mini golf courses. And then as a fundraiser, we are selling rubber ducks. They're $10 each. The rubber ducks will be racing in their bumper boat pond that morning. And whoever's duck comes in first place wins $1,000. Second and third place win $100. And fourth and fifth place win $50. So it's also just fun to watch all the rubber ducks go across the pond. If you've never seen a rubber duck race, I know they used to do them in Yuma, but it's been a little while. It's super fun to watch. A couple other announcements. If you ever want to see what the Chamber has going on or any events around Yuma, the Chamber now has a community calendar of events. Visit localyuma.com. There are some featured events on that page, but you can click on a button right at the top center of the page that takes you to the full calendar. The Mayor's Bike Ride is on there, for a fact. And we keep adding new events all the time as either our members or community people add the events to our calendar, or if we found out at an event, a lot of times we end up adding it ourselves because we want to be sure that every single event is on that calendar. The whole point of it is that the community knows what's going on and they can see all the great things we have to do here in Yuma County. Finally, the holidays are inching ever closer. I know we don't want to think about that yet, but if you're trying to think of a holiday gift, the Chamber has also started a new program. It is yumacountygiftcard.com. Right now, you can purchase a gift card. That gift card is good at over 20 businesses around Yuma County, and I do know of two more that are probably going to be added this week. So everything from the Peanut Patch to Yuma Candle Company to El Charro. So a lot of our local favorites accept this gift card, and it's a way for you to buy a gift for friends and family. But instead of having it only good at one location, it's good at multiple locations here in Yuma County. Just another way for us to keep our dollars local. And so with that, we still have Russ in the studio with us. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Mayor Nichols is still with us from the city of Yuma. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Good morning. So I took a lot of your time there. Sorry.
Those are all good things. All very good things.
But I know that the city events, you've got somebody at the city, a couple of people at the city that make sure that all the city's events are on our calendar, along with the city calendar. It's really easy to find the city events.
Good. Very good. Well, we have one event coming up between partnering with the Chamber. And that's our last business conversation.
Yeah, we do.
And that's coming up the 24th of October at 4 o'clock. And we're focusing on the medical community, the personal services, businesses here in the community. This is our fifth in the series. And we've had groups as small as, I think, we had about a dozen.
Probably yesterday. Yeah, maybe about 10, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're up to over 40. And the idea is people think they're going to come and hear me present a bunch of stuff and probably be bored or whatever. But no, actually, I talk for maybe 2-3 minutes, mm-hmm. and then I look at everyone else, say, what do you want to talk about? And they generally stare back at me. But the idea is to have that open conversation. This isn't to circumvent anything else. I mean, you could still email and call and do all those fun things with your electeds and the city staff. But this is a venue where these industries get to set what we're talking about.
Right.
And we've had some really, really positive conversations, and I look forward to just hearing what's on the mind, you know, positive, negative, whatever it is we need to know. I don't overwhelm the room with staff, so we're not there to beat down comments or change a narrative. We're there to listen, and then if we need to follow up with somebody on an answer, then we do that. But it's deliberately set so that people control the agenda.
And that is one of the things that I've noticed about Yuma, is that you make yourself very accessible mm-hmm. to the community, and we appreciate that. And especially the business community, I know that as well. And this is just one more way mm-hmm. that I feel like you are making yourself accessible to the business community. If they have concerns, rather than having to, you know, send an email or reach out, you know, directly. They can come to that. Plus, sometimes they hear about concerns that they may not have thought about because right. we're keeping it within an industry. And sometimes people are like, well, maybe it's just me that has that concern. Yes. And suddenly next thing you know, it's like, oh, wait, I didn't realize it was concern for other people, too.
Right. Right. You know, I get that. Even like friends and business associates that I've known for decades, mm-hmm. they're like, well,
they
I
show up.
Didn't, well, they do show up, but then they won't call me like, hey, mm-hmm. I've had this issue, this struggle or whatever. Like, well, why, you know, call me. That's if I can. If, mm-hmm. if there's something that needs to be fixed, we can fix it. But I can't fix things that I don't know about. So right. trying to always do an outreach in a different way so that it fits with however people are comfortable with. You know, a lot of people are not – they're afraid of the mic. They don't want to come to a council meeting and mm-hmm. talk on a mic. And to be frank, that's probably the least effective way because we can't dialogue.
Right.
But in this meeting, we can dialogue. We can't, the council can't make any decisions, obviously, but right. that could be the beginning of a solution if there's something that needs to get done. And people don't want to be on TV, so we don't have press there. It's just a conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's not the full city council.
No.
It's you and a couple of staff.
Right.
And that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, full city council would not be legal according to bylaws.
Yeah, you'd have to
well,
post
we have to
it.
Well, we'd have to public notice. And
right.
exactly.
And we're trying to make it more accessible, not less accessible. And then when things are, and you know, we're writing up the discussions, and those become available to whoever wants to see mm-hmm. them. And they'll be distributed to council. So those are all things that we're just trying to be as responsive as we can be. I feel that's the job.
But speaking of which, can I bring up for a second, if they want something fixed, they don't always have to go to you either. I have the Yuma Click and Fix yes. on my phone.
Yes, and I do too. I use it all the time.
Do you have Yuma Click and Fix on your phone? You don't know the Yuma Click and Fix?
No.
Oh, Russ, you need that on your phone.
This is the first thing I talk about in this little these business conversations. Essentially, it's an app on your phone because we have an app for that now.
Uh-huh.
And you, it's called Yuma Click and Fix. Yep. If you go to the store, whatever store you're phone is for, and you see like a pothole or something that needs to get addressed,
uh-huh.
you take a picture of it and in this app, and it geolocates the, if you have that on turned on your phone, it'll geolocate mm-hmm. where it's at on the map. You pick what department you think needs to get it addressed and what the issue is, and it sends it directly to that department. It doesn't go through administration to be routed mm-hmm. through another group of people and then a couple days later show up. Within seconds, it is on the desk of the person who would then coordinate it for that department. And you get a response email when it's taken care of.
Oh, so there is a communication back at
there
some
is.
Point.
There
like,
is.
And because I'm not everything is going to be like, well, I can fix that tomorrow.
Correct. Correct.
Some of that stuff, maybe it's on the calendar.
Could be long term. It could mm-hmm. be a CIP project. A lot of them aren't even in the city, so then we forward those to the county, but we let them know that it's not.
Yeah, get your own click and fix, county. Yeah. Quit playing around out there.
Well, it you know, as a citizen of both the city and the county,
right.
I can say that it can be difficult to know exactly where that boundary line is.
Definitely.
Especially if you're dealing with a county island.
Right. Or so. You know, even the east side of the city, you know,
it's
not a hard straight line. It bounces
exactly.
back and forth. So, you know, if... My advice is if you're unsure, send it into the city of Yuma Click mm-hmm. and Fix. We will push it to the county because we have those kind of relationships with them.
Sure.
And it's just another way to make sure that we are talking, hearing what we need to hear
right.
and trying to address what we need to address. We can't fix everything. And again, it's if you see a crime, this is an active crime. This is not the app.
Oh, yeah.
PD does have an app. They also have their own application that you can report crimes that are not emergencies and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Get police reports. I also recommend that app for your phone.
I think I'm going to take a picture of Mike Shelton and click and fix him.
Okay. Again, there are limitations.
Yeah, I'm going
to fix Mike Shelton.
I didn't know he was broken.
Yeah, well,
it'd be interesting to see which department that
is. He's a good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just picking on him for general purposes.
Well, he is a good guy, and he's very attuned to communicating with the mm-hmm. public.
Yeah,
very attuned to that. And
he makes it a point.
Yes. Yeah. He's also a big fan of the Click and Fix app. And it's, again, you can still call me or our city administrator or whoever you know at the city. But this is the fastest way to get it to the department that it needs to be to. So it's a good thing.
Well, with that, we'd better take another break. We'll be right back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Once upon a time, air conditioning was simple. It blew cold air, or it didn't. Today, air conditioning is more than cooling. Healthy, conditioned air is essential. When people ask me who I trust, I tell them, in Yuma, the only thing you need to know about air conditioning is Hansberger Refrigeration. Find them at HansbergerRefrig.com. That's Hansberger, R-E-F-R-I-G.com.
Find what you need, including rental equipment at Southwest Lumber. Southwest Lumber has what you're looking for year-round. Looking for rentals? They have a huge variety of equipment, from generators, carpet tools, paint sprayers, pressure washers, and much more. Get half-day rentals and even Saturday rentals. Do you need small hand tools?
We got that!
What about a post hole digger, micro trencher, or sewer auger?
We've got those too!
Call to find out this week's rental department special, 928-782-9867. Southwest Lumber. When it comes to DIY, we do it best.
At Bobby Combs RV Center, tis the season for camping and tailgating. Hunting for a smoking hot RV deal? What about this Bobby Combs deal of the day? New 2023 Freedom Express Ultralight 287 BHDS. This dual entry travel trailer sleeps 8 and comes with a power tongue jack, pull out camp kitchen area, walk in entry closet, vaulted underbed storage, double sized bunks. Buy fast at $38,998 or pay $377 a month with proof credit. Today at Bobby Combs RV Centers, 4710 East 32nd Street. What deal so hot? Ace! Sizzle.
Wee, that's hot.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have the City of Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a comment, Doug.
Yes.
You know, I was at Tacos and Tunes.
Yes.
And there were police on bicycles again. I hadn't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
They were e-bikes. Yeah. So I approached one of the officers and said, why are you riding that? Did you get a DUI? He wouldn't appreciate that part of it. I asked him about an e-bike. And he says, yeah, they've been in storage for a while. We saw them. So let's use them. I said, well, good idea. I think they're perfect for that.
Yeah. So now that we have fully staffed our patrol.
Yeah.
That we now have the ability to go back to those kind of control. We haven't fully staffed the whole department. But we're getting there. We've got a good number of people in academy. But now that the actual patrol level is full, we've been able to go back to the bike patrol.
I've always liked that bike thing.
Yes.
Because it's more up close, personal.
Yes.
And getting through crowds and traffic where a police car doesn't fit.
And it's better than horses because you don't have to.
Better than horses, yeah. But the e-bikes are even better yet.
Yes.
You can get the more out of shape police officers on them and cover more material.
All of our officers.
More territory.
All of our officers are.
The guys that have had too many power circles.
He's making me laugh.
You're hanging around with the sheriff too much. He's the only one I know that calls those power circles.
That would be a donut.
Yes. So if we could, we have one segment left, and this is our last segment.
Right.
And so one of the things that you and I have talked about a lot lately is we have a special election coming up.
Yes.
And ballots are, to my knowledge, actually being mailed out today.
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 Yes.
And so people should start seeing them in their mailbox tomorrow, yes. I would say.
Yes.
Because it usually doesn't take that long to come from Yuma to Yuma.
Not normally.
And so if we could kind of talk about that as an aside a little bit, because
sure.
I know that I'm taking my director hat off kind of a little bit here.
Sure.
But the chamber does support it. The chamber does support the propositions.
Very so. Good. There's three on this election.
There are.
And I want to explain how those got on the ballot, because it's a little bit longer of a process. And, in 2018 and 19, we convened the Charter Review Committee, and actually
right.
Russ was on that committee. And they went through the whole charter, top to bottom, and identified about 5 or 6 different topics that needed to get addressed. Three of them we handled prior to COVID. We put it on the ballot. But because we knew COVID this was at the beginning of COVID, early 2019, we decided to. These were less urgent, so we pushed these off. And now that we're through all that, These three items were brought up earlier this year for consideration, and council decided to put them on the ballot to the voters. So to change the charter, it has to be approved by the voters.
Yep.
It's it's like a constitution. It's the framework at which we operate. Yeah. And there's three things. There's Proposition 419, 420, and 421. 419 is to change the assignment of the city charter. I'm sorry, the city attorney to report directly to city council as opposed to the city administrator.
I don't like it. So I can have an opinion. You may not be able to. I don't know. You're allowed to. You're an elected official.
Yes, I have an opinion. But yeah. I just kind of want to put out there what these are. And that would be the only second employee that the city council would have any interaction with. 420 is to actually change the compensation for mayor and council. And we can get into that a little bit more here in a minute. And then 421 is kind of in the weeds kind of thing, which I kind of disappointed. This is in the charter to begin with because it seems a little bit too in the weeds. But it's to change what's allowable in the contract provisions for the city administrator on compensation, like when they depart. And that's really just in reflect the what's common in the city administrator circles now. Mm-hmm. So what's acceptable. Those are the three things that are going to be on this ballot. Now, if you're in the Crane district, there will be a fourth one specifically for Crane, and I'm not prepared to talk about what that is.
Nope.
So just be prepared if you're in the Crane district and you say, well, I was supposed to only have three things and now I have four, that's why that is. And so that's what's before the voters. Back to the mayor and council salary issue. You know, before I came on here, I was thinking about this and you know, it's a little bit awkward to come on here to talk about it, but who hasn't gone to their boss and said, I think I deserve a raise?
I just did. I'll admit it. You know, because I have a board of directors that I have to answer to. So it's kind of the same. It's not my, you know, I actually have a whole board.
Right.
You know, so it's not a whole community, thank goodness. Well, but it is still a group of 10 people that I have to go to and say, hey, this is what other, and I do exactly like this. I sit down. This is what other executive directors in similar communities are making. Mm-hmm. This is what I've done over the last 3 years. This is, you know, I mean, it's okay to advocate for yourself.
Well, and we just have 100,000 bosses.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that makes it a little bit bigger of a discussion. And you know, when I ran for this position, I knew exactly the situation is. And so it's not contingent upon that at all. It's just, I think moving forward, it makes sense to put this before the voters. It came out of the Charter Review Committee, as I understand it, and maybe Russ could verify, it came out unanimously.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm sure it's in the minutes, but I don't think anyone voted against that.
Right. And so it hasn't changed for council since 1985 and for mayors since 1996. And I think costs have gone up since then. So,
well, and the community has grown, and which I'm sure means also the responsibilities have changed.
It takes a little bit of time.
Or a lot of time. Clearly I don't see everything you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure nobody does except for maybe your wife.
Only if she wants to.
But I'm in meetings with you regularly. Mm-hmm. And I know when you've gone to D.C. And I know quite often when you've gone to Phoenix. And I know, you know, when you've had to go to the border to deal with issues with that. And, you know, I hear a lot of those things. And I'm trying to figure out when exactly you work at Core Engineering.
I think my employees wonder the same thing. It does bleed over. And originally the idea was I was trying to divide my day at 3 o'clock would be the boundary between my business and the city activities. But as you can see right now.
So how's that working out for you today?
Right, yeah, nobody else wants to play by those rules. So those are the things that, come into play. And it's really more about the future than it is about today.
Right.
Correct. That wouldn't go into effect immediately anyway.
It would go into effect at the next council election.
Okay.
So
the
in
next
January
election.
2025.
So the current officials that are.
So yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean you would have a raise anyway.
Well, in 2025, I would.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd be halfway
you're
through
still
my
there.
Second,
right. Got
my
it.
Third
yep.
term.
Okay.
But it would not. It wouldn't take an effect right away.
Yuma's way behind the rest of the cities of our size. And anyway, you know. My feeling on it is look, what they're getting paid is basically nothing. You know, $300 a month is, not too much, $10 a day. Not a lot for our city councilman. And it really is a demanding job. I've been there, done that, and, it's not well compensated, which means that we're limited in who can be in there. And there are some people that would like to do it, but it can't take the time away from work and do it for free.
Right.
Basically, so it would make more opportunity for more people to join in and do that and bring other than just retirees. Mm-hmm. Basically we get a lot of retirees or people that have that kind of time, which is great. That's great too. But let's open it up a little bit and make it available.
Right. And I get a lot of questions on why we tie it to the Board of Supervisors salary. And you were in the committee, but it makes sense to me when that came out because you want to tie it to something that's relevant.
Stable, relevant.
Right, and other elected officials.
And adjusted occasionally. It gets adjusted every decade or so.
So that we don't have to change the city charter and have an election every single time.
Right. The last time it was changed was in 2007.
Yeah. But and we don't want to tie it. The board didn't want to tie it to like cost of living increase. Those are very complex and ridiculous, and it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it may not reflect what's really going on in the city or in the county or in the state, which the Board of Supervisors pay does, because it's a representative from all 15 counties and legislature that will look at that closely and adjust that accordingly.
And then if at some point the people of Yuma think those salaries are out of adjustment, we can go right back to changing the charter.
Yeah, you still can change it.
It's never you're never giving up the authority.
Because changing the charter is the only way to really make a change to your salary anyway. I mean, even for a cost of living wage or whatever, it would have to go to the charter.
Yes.
And the city has put these things out there before, notoriously gets rejected.
Yes,
by the city
seven says, times. I think
you should do it for free. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
and knowing all the council members that I've served with in the last 10 years, they all would do it for free. That no one's doing this for the financial.
Yeah, but there's some people I know that would like to be
correct
that can't.
Correct.
I was just going to say, but asking the city council members is kind of like asking all of your friends whether or not you should do something, because the people who can't do it aren't in the room to say, I would do it, but I can't.
That's why the Charter Review Committee was so key to make it happen, because we got non-elected officials, at least not city elected officials, in the room to give a variety of opinions. And they did that independent of the council.
Yeah.
We were not in the room as those conversations were.
No, nobody was.
No, it was
the city attorney was there. That was about it.
Just to make sure everything was legal.
Well, just make sure we didn't break any rules. Yeah.
Right.
But that and so
we're
that's
very
where,
capable of that.
And that's where it came from. And council before COVID, as COVID was hitting, we all weren't sure what was going to happen, and so this was put off. But now that we're through that, council thought, let's finish out the city charter review committee's suggestions and see where it goes.
Yeah, it's a. I hope it happens. I do. I'm a big.
I do too.
Advocate for it. So.
And so ballots are coming out.
Yes, and they're going to need a mailbox. And there's you have to either mail it back or drop it off. And you can drop it off at the county recorder's office, the City of Yuma Police Station on Araby Road, or the Yuma County Main Library. All government buildings.
Perfect. And with that, also, they can go on the city website and find everything they want to know about the bike ride.
Yes. Bike ride. Business conversations.
Yeah. And business conversations. That's on the chamber website.
Yes.
But the bike ride is October 21st. Be at the Civic Center well before 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Like 7-ish.
Seven works.
Okay. Seven works. Okay.
Yep.
And
be ready to have some fun.
Kids can go too.
Kids, you just make sure you have an adult with you.
Perfect.
But yes.
Okay.
Definitely kids are more than welcome.
Well, with that, if that's all the time we have left, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.